world, getting ready for the gates of pearl. Geeked in my record rack, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Geeked in my record rack, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Laying up my treasure at home above. Trusting, fully trusting the Savior's love. Doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready. Oh, aren't you glad that you are? Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right. Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Trusting in the riches of His saving grace. Through each earthly trial I His love can trace. Sure that up in heaven I will find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right. World. To prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. Oh, this bride's getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world.
Hallelujah. Are you excited about your departure? Are you excited about getting out of this place? Oh, isn't it good to be a Christian tonight? Isn't it good to be a believer? Oh, let's just give Him one more big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're so glad you're here tonight. Most of all, we're glad that the presence of the Lord is in this place. Without the presence of God, it's just a gathering of people. But I'm so glad that He graces us with His presence. Do you appreciate the presence of the Lord? Amen. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Play some more of that, guys, if you will. Brother Harry, sing that third verse. Praise the Lord. Play it, Mike. And Jesus said, I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to
around, watching both day and night.
I'm getting ready
to leave this world.
Oh, getting ready
to leave this world.
Getting ready for the gates of pearl.
Keeping my record right, watching both day and night.
I'm getting ready
to leave this world.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. I believe Brother Ray Erickson is in the room tonight. Brother Ray, I don't know exactly where you're at, but I want you to come and pray over these prayer requests. We have a lot of visitors here tonight, maybe stayed over from the meeting over Ruth. If you're visiting with us, won't you just lift your hands tonight, all of our visitors. Just lift your hands so we can see you tonight. Give these folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. So glad to have you with us tonight. Let's look at our prayer request. We'll remember Sister Linda Lawrence in prayer. She's had a kidney infection. Also remember the Lawrence family for a special unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Please remember two of my cousins, Joan Tilly and Lisa Dora. Both are needing healing in their bodies. Brother Byron Palmer sends that in. I hope I got those names right. So we want to remember those needs tonight as we pray. Sister Rachel Eastep says, I want to thank the Lord for protecting me and that I do not have a broken ankle. So she wants to thank the Lord for that. We praise God with her. Amen. Sister Janet Barron says this in about 6 p.m. The police and an ambulance took Linda Green to the hospital trying to revive her. They said she was gone. She came to church with me one time. And they're just lives across the street from Sister Janet. So we want to remember that need tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation and be with the family. Sister Rebecca says that during the sermon on Thursday night, the Lord healed me of a problem with my left knee that had recently started causing pain in my thigh and down to my feet, making it hard to do what I needed to do. I thank the Lord for being mindful of my needs. So praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. So we're just glad that the Lord is so mindful of all of our situations. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand together one more time? Brother Ray, you come to lead us to the Lord tonight in prayer. Certainly appreciate our brother. Give him a nice hand tonight as he comes. God bless you, sir. Appreciate you. Glad to have you with us. God bless you.
My wife and I are really happy to be here this evening. We just came from the North Carolina meetings, and Brother Donnie preached the rapturing power last night. It was just tremendous, just tremendous. The revelation that's coming forth in this hour. We may not be here long. Let's bow our heads, if you would, please. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, this evening for redemption, for the power of revelation that you've given us as a people. Not that we earned it, Lord, but you gave it to us freely. And Lord, tonight as we lay our hands upon these requests, Father, we pray that the quickening power will quicken these mortal bodies. And Lord, you'll undertake for every need that has been written down here. Lord, you're the healer of all of our diseases. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver us out of them all. Lamb of God, would you come and be personal to each one of these, Lord? Father, we not only want to ask you, but we want to thank you for the testimonies that are going forth. Oh God, you kept your word. You're standing with your little bride in this dark and evil age, oh God. We're so thankful that there was one that could turn on the light. Oh Father, we love you with all our hearts. We thank you for mercy. Come and bless this service, the remainder of it tonight, the song service, the ministry of the word. Oh, God, may it come in power and demonstration. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ray. God bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, receive the evening offering. Like I said a few minutes ago, all of our visitors, we want to welcome you to the service tonight. Pray that this service would be a great blessing to you. All those that are streaming, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. We have several ministers that I think that have stayed over and here are in the service with us tonight. We certainly want to welcome you, all you brothers. God bless you. We're glad, Brother Lindsey McGrady, I know, is visiting with us in the service tonight. So among others that are here, we welcome you. Give our visitors one more hand tonight, if you would. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a couple of specials here just in a few minutes. Let me make this announcement. Everyone is invited to the wedding of Aaron Vaughn and Melissa McNulty on Saturday, August the 13th at 11 a.m. at Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. Reception to follow at the pavilion. So remember that announcement. We'll be making that again as we get closer to that date. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? You appreciate what God's doing for us? Amen. Amen. See those clouds? See those clouds? As we was driving in tonight, started to sprinkle the rain, and I seen the rain begin to fall. I saw the clouds begin to gather. And we know we're in a storm in this world. We're in a stormy world. We're in a storm in our life. And I know this. He promised He's coming back in the clouds of glory. How many of you want to meet Him in the clouds? Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say we're fixing to have church. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't want to miss the Lord's appearing on that morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, then make your preparation, secure your soul's salvation, and keep your eyes upon the eastern sky.
tarry.
Oh,
when the bridegroom, he's gonna catch.
He's gonna
his
catch
bride
his little bride away.
Away.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Let's sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service. I want to give Brother Dwayne Lawson plenty of time to preach tonight. And we're just so glad to have him in the service. I know Brother Donnie will be saying more about that in a few minutes. But let's just sing this little chorus tonight. Let it rain. Whatever is dry about your soul, whatever is dry in your life, why don't you just ask him to rain on you tonight? I believe he's got showers of blessings. And in you is a river of life. Do you believe that tonight? Let's sing about it. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Just a little bit.
Hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We love you tonight so much. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We're going to have a couple of songs. Sister Bethany Lawson, if you want to come onto the platform. Sister Haley Cross, these two young ladies will be singing for us. Sister Haley, if you want to go ahead and sing. Sister Bethany, you sing after her. So let's do that, Sister Bethany. And Sister Haley, if you both will come on to the platform at this time. Give these folks a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you tonight.
You down and you feel more broken than whole. When the wounds go deeper than words and you can't tell a soul, I may not know what you're.
Joy.
Master.
The Lord. There's no better place to be, is there? Everybody's fighting for something. People's going to be fighting tonight to get drunk. They're going to be fighting before they get drunk and after they get drunk. Everybody's going to be fighting for something. If we're going to be fighting, why not fight for the right thing? And we're on the winning side, friends. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? Be a child of God, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and know who we are and our position in the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, so wonderful. Brother Wayne Lawson is going to come and speak for us tonight. We're excited about him being with us. And just so appreciate you praying and just pull on the gift of God. The Lord's mindful of your need and whatever you have need of. We just believe that He can speak to us tonight by His Word. God uses human instrumentality to be able to project Himself through that. So let's just open our hearts tonight. How many has a need? Or needs as many. Sure, we all do. And you know the thing about it? The Lord Jesus is able to come right here tonight and be able to lead a man right through his notes, right through the scriptures, right through all these different directions to be able to speak to every one of us. There ain't no way a man could do that. Totally impossible. Only God can be able to custom fit it. But we've seen Him do it over and over again. You know, when He does these great things, you know what it does to us? It spoils us. Then we get to where we just expect Him to do it all the time. He wants us to. He told us to ask great things and ask many of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing together, He Touched Me, as we invite Brother Wayne to come. And just appreciate all the visitors that are with us tonight as well. Trust the Lord will bless you while you're visiting with us in our gates. I was shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame. Hallelujah. Oh, but then the hand of Jesus touched me. Sing it now. And now I am no longer the same. Everybody, oh, He touched me. Aren't you glad? The Lord. Brother Wayne, I guess this is the first time he's actually been with us to speak with us. Many of you have heard him in different meetings and all that, but we certainly want to just make him welcome tonight. He's temporarily residing up around Lima. He's actually from eternity, just a brief stop down in time here, and we're fixing to be caught back up in that loop together again. So we're happy to be going together that way. Let's just make him welcome. Open our hearts to the Lord tonight.
Kicked off that organ there, and I was sitting in that back chair. The problem was I almost got up and started dancing in the middle of the office. Amen. I'll tell you, it's a good feeling, amen, to feel the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking, my, if it feels like that back here, what's it like out there? Amen. And we just want to say that it is a real honor to be here, and we have Brother Ray and Sister Ruth with us tonight, our pastor, and we sure want to say God bless them. I have my wife, Sister Chris, and y'all met Bethany, my daughter. I'll tell you, she's just a real blessing. Amen. And so we just want to say that it is an honor to speak with you tonight, and we just pray that something special would be brought forth into your hearts. And I know that our expectations of the Lord is great, and He's never let us down. Amen. And, amen. If we look into Him tonight, and so we just want to, if we can tonight, to turn into the Word of the Lord in the book of Matthew. I happened to be in the meetings. Elvin and Ruth, some of you was with me in the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter. We were in the book over in the meetings. And Ruth, I'll tell you what a blessing it was. And Brother Donnie preached like a man from another planet last night. Oh, mercy. He got down there, and man, he'd been preaching a while, you know, and he said, can y'all take a little more? And I've had guys ask that, and it had been about an hour and 20 minutes, and you're thinking, nah, I can't take no more. You had enough in 40 minutes, you know. And when he said that last night, I was thinking in a different way. I thought, I don't know if I can take any more. It wasn't the time, but I was thinking any minute now, my body's just going to blow up. We're just going to take a change. Amen. And so we just so appreciate his ministry and what he's given to the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank him and his wife, Sister Carol. Amen. Amen. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, we want to look here in the 5th verse. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy and grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, and having soldiers under me, I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and he arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Let's just bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, with our Bibles open before us, we are reading the infallible Word of God. And Lord, these are not just stories to comment upon, but this is your attitude toward your people. And Lord, you already knew what your attitude was. You knew what your Word was. But Lord, you put it in the book that we could read it tonight, and Lord, be able to understand what your attitude, what your person is. And Lord, as we read it tonight, we know it's your will, O God, that there be not one sick person that leave this building. It would be your will, O Lord, that every person be saved. Lord, your children be filled with your Spirit, O Lord. And Father, we are asking you tonight, as you taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, if you give unto us, Lord, as the type in the Scripture, unto half of thy kingdom, then we ask of you, O God, fulfill your word in our hearts and in this building tonight. Father, we ask you, Lord, for the special needs, the ones that can't be spoken, O God, the ones that are there on the line even this evening that are watching. We pray, O God, that you would just give your grace and your mercy, Lord. Father, we invite you to come, and you told us, Lord, through the words of a prophet, that you would come where you're invited. Now we humble ourselves before you and ask you, O Lord, that you would take this time and this minister, Lord, and use it from your glory. And if there be any glory, we'll give it all to thee, O God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And may God bless you as you would have your seats this evening. I'd just like to take just a few minutes this evening and speak to you from this scripture. And if I would take a title tonight, I'd like to speak to you on being lifted by his presence. Man, being lifted by his presence. And you know, I have to say that it's an honor to be here in this place and this time, but even in a greater sense of the meaning, it's a wonderful privilege to be living in this generation. If a prophet of God would look at such a time, and he would be able to, by vision, go all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve and tell us what they were wearing when they walked out of the garden and how things happened. And he could look in the times of John the Baptist and speak about the Elijah that he saw in that day. And by vision, many of the things that he saw, he actually was getting under the same inspirations and delivering us to them. And then here he stands in the end of time and says to us, I would rather be living in this time than any other age. Now, this is not just being said from ignorance or from a lack of knowledge or understanding of what the other ages were, but this was with full understanding. Vision, he's been brought there by vision, visited those places, and then here he stands under the knowledge of the word in this age and says, what you're in possession of right now is the greatest thing that has come into human hands since Adam left the Garden of Eden. I'll tell you, friend, tonight, I don't know what your state is in your economy. I'm not sure what your house looks like. I'm not sure about your education. I'm not sure what your state in life is, your marriage circumstances or whatever it is, but I want you to know you're blessed tonight. You're blessed to the Lord to be living in this time, in this generation, with the opportunity that we have in this time. There has never been a greater time. There's never been a greater experience to be part of, a generation to partake of, or a time to preach the gospel or to believe the gospel. When I think of where we are in this generation, we have been called into a place and an experience with God that we're able to get into places that man has never roamed before. We're coming into the same places that Adam was in the garden, but this time with revelation. Amen. This time when he says he loves you, you know what he's meaning by it. When he says I'll redeem you, you know what he's talking about. Amen. Amen. You have things in this generation where God is calling us into experience. There's been people in the Bible that had great opportunity and they missed their opportunities. When you go back and you read how at one time a runner comes to Jesus and invites him to Simon's house. Oh, how I would have liked to have been that runner. Amen. But you know, he was so caught up in his duty of what he was going to be doing, inviting Jesus to a place where he was going to be made fun of. Amen. And he had that few moments of time when he was making that invitation. Look at how he could have took that opportunity. He could have stepped right in there and said, Lord, they have some need of you, but I have some need of you myself. And he could have put his own person right there, and he could have took the opportunity that he had in that moment, but he missed his opportunity and he was only worried about what somebody's sitting there to do. Amen. And you find out that there was people that was there in the scripture that were called aside for certain things. When the Bible says that Jesus took certain disciples and went on the mountain, and it was called the Mountain of Transfiguration, not everybody went up there with him, but there were some men that were called to that special moment in time where they saw a cloud come down on the mountain and the glorification of the Lord, and they were able to see that. So there was a special moment for those men that was able to, and Peter was so influenced and so moved by what he saw that he said, we ought to build 3 tabernacles right here. Amen. It was so powerful what he was in possession of and what he was seeing and the opportunity. But yet we can read these things and we can reminisce and we can think, oh, if I could have lived in that time, if I could have lived in Noah's time, I'd have been on that ark. If I could have lived in Rahab's time, I'd have hung the token. If I'd have been living in the time when they went in the upper room, I'd have been there. You know, we look at every one of them and we think, how was it that somebody could have lived in that kind of time and not been a part of that? And to think of the generation that we are living in, that it's so easy to look in the rearview mirror and say, if I would have been there, I would have done this. But Jesus one time told the Pharisees, he said, we know what you would have done then by what you're doing now. And we recognize that if God has made himself more real in this generation than any other generation, I want to say it like the prophet said it. He said that if Jesus Christ was here in his physical body, there would be no bigger gathering than there is tonight. If he was here in his physical body, that's a quote. He said there'd be no bigger gathering than there is tonight. Now to think of that tonight, that he's made himself so real without his physical body that it ought to attract the elect of God all over the globe. Amen.
to see that what God has done. And we have been brought into this time. And I want to thank God this evening. What an opportunity to live. What a generation to be a part of. Amen. When you look at this and see this wonderful time, I think of how Brother Branham tried to distribute it to us and how he so tried to dispense the idea of the time that we were living in. And he's using all kinds of vocabulary and he's doing his best to tell us what he's saying. And I was just picking up a few of his terms and I was just thinking of how that a prophet would look at this and he would announce it to the church and he would say, well, this is the bride time. And we would all as ministers and people, we'd look at such a statement as that coming from a prophet and we'll go through and dig and look and marriages and customs and we'll spend hours and hours and hours trying to just from that one little term, try to get a grip of what a prophet would be meaning by saying something so powerful, to think that he would look and he would say, it's the bride time. And then he'll change phrases in another place and he'll say, it's the bride's age. And he'll turn around and look and he'll say, if you didn't understand that, it's adoption time. Amen. If you didn't understand that, it's the rapture age. If you didn't catch that, he'll say, we've turned the corner now. We're headed heavenly. If you're not getting that, he said, this is the age his coming will be in, the revealed word of the hour. And why did it have to come? So the bride would know her mate, the revealed word of the hour. This is the greatest time that's ever lived. The image of Satan has fallen. Amen. For 2,000 years, look at what he's built. And he's trying to build an image that would deceive the whole world. And it would be, he would deceive the whole world if it wasn't for the elect of God, where the Bible said the whole world would be deceived. If it were possible, he would even deceive the elect. Amen. But every time it talks about deception in the end time, in the greatness of deception, there's always a little place left in there that there is an elect that's talked about. Just in case that you're reading the scripture and you see the deception of that time and your heart starts falling, there's a place there that'll lift you up again and it'll say, but the elect cannot be deceived. You'll be reading over in Revelations and you'll read about the mark of the beast and how the image is falling on America. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of it all, it'll say everybody in the earth will worship at the beast except for those whose names is on the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. It was not God that took the word of God and beat down his bride. But I hear the prophecy of my Lord. He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And someone that's taking this message and beating the people of God down, that is not the Spirit of Christ. But the Spirit of Christ said, I will build my church. And there is a word here tonight that has built us from faith to nerves to virtue, all the way up until we've come to the capping of the pyramid. Glory be to God. Where are we tonight, church? We're up on the mountain where we can see the end. We're not in the valley where every little thing is in our way. We have climbed above Luther. We've climbed above Wesley. We've climbed above Pentecost until we can see the end. We can see the finish line. And everything within me says, finish the race. Go to the end. It's our time. The baton is in thine hand. What an opportunity. What a time to live. Adoption time. Bride time. Rapture time. Harvest time. Look at the prophet laying all these words in here. What is it? The prophet of God says, it's the word itself calling you into divine presence. It's the word itself calling you. Come on into divine presence. This is where you can see the veil has been opened and you can hear the message calling you in. He's calling you behind the curtain. He's calling you into the divine presence. That's exactly what's going on into this age. The divine presence of God. This is the age where supreme power has been given to the church by a supreme sacrifice of supreme deity. The power that we are in possession possession of tonight, the time that we are living, the power that we're in possession of, has not been robbery. We have not stolen nothing. We are not presuming anything. But what we are in possession of tonight has been given to us by a supreme sacrifice. A deity himself that gave his own blood that we might be able to have what we have tonight by a payment paid, that we don't have to ask forgiveness for what we believe. We don't have to back up for our paychecks tonight. We don't have to act like we're getting something that don't belong to us. Amen. But the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. Think of this tonight. Amen. That there is something been given to this generation that is calling them in to divine presence. Calling you into something. When I think of this, of how, amen, this Gentile faith has fell upon the church, has been laid upon the church, has been brought into you. Amen. I'll tell you, we are living in a time where great things are happening. I don't try to share testimonies every time I preach, but once in a while, it just gets in our heart to realize the time we're living. Amen. I was just some years ago, I was with a brother, Brother Ken Boyer up in Calgary, Alberta. And the Lord gave us some grace there. And Brother Ken had something real special happen. Maybe I'll share it with you later, but Brother Ken had come back for the hospital and he had a little bit of a growth on him, a cancer. A tumor, I guess they call it. And he had the pictures were taken of the tumor, and they went out and they said, well, we're going to have to come back in 6 weeks and look at the tumor again and see if it needs cut out or what it's going to do. You know how the doctors will do. Well, Brother Kenny, he went and had the picture taken. Well, 6 weeks later, he went back. Amen. After prayer, he said, Brother Wayne, we actually prayed with him. He said from that moment, he began a confession of faith. And he comes back 6 weeks later and they take the picture again. Well, the doctor calls him. He says, Mr. Boyer, he said, I want to tell you. He said, now there's no tumor in your body any longer. He said, this thing didn't get bigger and it didn't get smaller. He said, actually, it's just not there anymore. Now, we're living in a generation when doctors don't know how to handle the church. Because with every bit of their scientific evidence, they'll say there's a tumor in there. And just simply because some little nobody will anoint them with oil, or they'll be sitting in a service somewhere and the power of God strike their body, you're living in a time when cancers will disappear right while you're sitting in the church. That was a lady that heard that testimony. I didn't even know it. She'd come up to the front for prayer there in Arkansas. She'd come up for prayer. And when they had prayed for her, I didn't even know what her prayer was about. But I was sitting there with the testimony about Brother Ken. So when the sister left the altar, I told Brother Dave, I said, hey, I got a testimony I'd like to tell the church. And I got up and told him that testimony about Brother Ken Boyer and what God did to take that cancer. When I told that testimony after the service, the sister, Sharon Beardley, she comes around to me. She said, Brother Wayne, do you know what I was praying about? I said, I don't know. She said, you didn't know that. She said, that just had to be the Lord. She said, my father-in-law is completely eat up with cancer. And he had it in his kidney and in his bladders. And he was going to have to go have some surgery. I don't know how deep the surgery was, but it was a huge thing. And she says, but whenever that I come up for prayer for him, I went and sat back in my chair. She said, you got up and testified how the Lord completely removed that cancer from Brother Ken. She said, there was something spoke to me and said that if God could do that for one man, he can do that for another. She said, right then, I said, Lord, I believe that. And that cancer, a week later, the man went down to have surgery. He had his pictures from his local doctor. He went down to the specialist to have surgery. And the specialist done his own examination before he started the surgery. He come back and said, sir, I'm sorry, but I can't do surgery on you. The man was actually a little upset because he drove 2 hours to the specialist to get the surgery. He couldn't figure out, what's the problem, doc? You know, I went to a big city to get my surgery, and now you won't do it. And I wasted my whole day and, you know, probably ain't eating, 24 hours because of all they had to do to him. And he's kind of getting after the doctor. He said, well, tell me. He said, did my doctor make a mistake back home? Did my local doctor tell me wrong? And the specialist said, sir, I'm to be honest, I don't know how to explain this to you. He said, because on your pictures, there's cancer there. But when I examined you this morning, there is no cancer there anymore. Amen. What happened to that cancer? We didn't even lay our hands on that man. That girl didn't even lay her hands. But she believed that the Word of God was able to drive out cancer. I told that story right there in a meeting at Sam Kinzer's a couple years ago. And a man stood up in the meeting. And he stood up and said, "Brother Wayne, when these meetings started, I had cancer on my chest." He's right here in Tennessee. He said, "I had cancer right here on my chest." He said, "But when you gave that testimony," he said, "I thought, oh my, isn't that wonderful?" He said, "I believe God could do that for me." He said, "I felt something move over my body and I reached my hand in to see if it was still there." He said, "Brother, it is completely gone." It happened right there in the service. I'm talking about an age where cancers just disappear. I'm talking about an age just by preaching the gospel that demons will leave the people's lives. I'm talking about an age that the Bible said, while Peter yet speak these words, they receive the Holy Ghost. We're living in a time when the Holy Ghost can come into the church just as you're preaching the gospel. Hallelujah! What a generation to live in. A prophet of God knew that Mark 11:22 was going to be fulfilled in this generation. He knew the greatest of all ages, the power of the spoken word, was coming back to the believer again. Oh my, to think tonight of the grace of God. Amen. Do you recognize, and who is this? Who is God? Brother Branham will tell us this. He knew that he was a son of God. Every sickness and every demon was under him. What happened to this Roman centurion? Revelation in Matthew chapter 8. He's representing this Gentile faith. And this Gentile faith knew that he was the Son of God. And that every sickness and every demon was under him. All he had to do was just speak the word. Not pray, just speak the word. That's all. And it would be done, because every demon would have to obey him. Do you believe that tonight? Every demon will obey God. It has to. Everything obeys God. And it will obey you if you have faith. Amen. And it will obey you if you have faith. Amen. I want you to realize tonight something. The devil has to obey the voice of faith. The devil has to obey. Do you recognize the Bible tells us about a time that when Joshua was living in the land, and the scripture tells us that Joshua was a type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Joshua is going to be foreshadowing something that happens in the end time. It's not Jesus now. It's going to type the Holy Ghost. Now we find out, the scripture tells us that it's in the Gentile faith is where this really begins to get its power. We find that this Roman centurion is going to teach us something. He's going to teach us that he recognized who Jesus was. He recognized the supreme authority of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this to you, and we're getting to know you well. I maybe just want to say this as a part of my belief. You'll never find power if you recognize Jesus as the second person of the Godhead. You're never going to find power if he's the third person of the Godhead. But you must see him as supreme deity, as he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. If he is the source of supreme power, then if that one of supreme power is in the church tonight, then supreme power is resting in the bride of Jesus Christ by the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And we recognize that this Gentile faith was being introduced to the church by this Roman centurion. As he would tell Jesus, "I have a need for you to come down to me." Jesus said, "I will go down to your house." I think it's a beautiful revelation laying here. He's promising, "I will personally in my corporal body come down to your house and heal this man." But the Gentile says, "You don't have to come in your corporal body. if you just send your word, I know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. So dwelling in the flesh of Jesus Christ was the eternal Logos that could speak one word and suns would appear and earth would come into existence. It was by Him that everything was created, and the eternal Logos was living in that body. And that centurion recognized, this is not just another man, but He's the Creator of heaven and earth. And if He will just speak one word, everything will obey His voice. Oh, I believe tonight there's people sitting here that knows this bride's revival doesn't start with a corporal return of Jesus Christ, but when He sends His word, it is His personal presence. And we have come into the presence of God by the word that has come in this generation. What have we received of God? We have received His divine presence. When this Roman understood, if the Word comes, God has come. If the Word comes to your home, God is coming to your home. When the Word comes into your church, God has come into your church. Listen, we're not a denominational believers tonight. We have not separated God and His Word. That's what's wrong with the world now. They think God is separate from His Word. They said we'll love God, but we won't obey His Word. We love Him, but we can't take the oneness of the Godhead. We love Him, but we can't take water baptism. We love God, but we can't take predestination. How can you love God and deny His Word when He is His Word? His personal presence is His Word. To deny His Word is to deny Him. Oh, getting wonderful, isn't it? When you bring that back to the seven seal and you hear Brother Branham say the seven seal brings Him back to the earth. Come on, He's not talking about just in the air here. He has to have a tabernacle. So He's on the earth somewhere. Here's the secret. The Word is in the bride. You know I'm quoting the scripture. You know it's right there when He said, when the prophet of God said, spoken word, original seed, that whenever the headstone becomes up, the church will have to near that headstone and she will become a super church, a super race. Amen. What makes her super? It's what's dwelling on the inside of her. See, you find out that this Gentile faith is being introduced. Amen. Right here in this scripture, that His personal presence without His corporal body has just as much power. That's why Brother Branham will say in the message, he says that this is the same in every element except for the corporal body. People keep saying we want a shaking, we want a revival. There is no greater revival until you see His physical body. There could be no greater manifestation of Christ than what we have seen in this age and what we have already witnessed in this time. If this message doesn't excite you, you are not excitable. If this message does not move you, you are not movable. But if you have a part of the supernatural God on the inside of you, when this word began to come for, that was something in you begin to move. That was a gene seed laying there that rose up in the power of the Son and said, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Come on, church. He likened you unto eagles for a reason. He told that eagle story for a reason. Is that right? Because you didn't come here as no chicken. And you ain't leaving here as no chicken. Chickens are anointed to die. We're anointed to fly. And at the voice of the eagle. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you. He probably heard that voice a long time before he saw that body. Awakened by it. Lifted by it. Isn't it amazing? He called you eagles. Isn't that wonderful? Brother Bam said the reason he called you eagles was, he said, it's the only bird in the Bible, he said, that could go down to nothing and come back to full strength again. It's the only thing in nature that can be completely almost dead, but it can be renewed to its youth again. So He did not call you chickens. He did not call you buzzards. He called you eagles because He knew you was going to get low. He knew things were going to get hard. He knew neurotics was going to be in this age. He knew fear was going to get on you. He knew trials were going to come your way. But the God of heaven knew that you're an eagle. All He had to do was call your name and you would rise up. He wouldn't stop the devil from attacking you, but He made you somebody that could overcome. He made you somebody that could rise up in every adversary. I'll tell you this, amen, when the Word of God begins to move and there's something on the inside of you that's supernatural, you cannot help but to move. There's something moving. Amen, you take a meeting like tonight, when that fire begins to move in the meeting, you say, what's going on? Something's moving on the inside of me. I'll tell you what it is. It's a life from another place, and it's residing in there. And when the Spirit begins to move, it begins to quicken that that's already in you, and it begins to move the flesh on the outside. Hallelujah. Every time the devil talks to you, you go down. Every time God talks to you, you rise up. You want to know who's talking to you? Amen. Get the way that it takes you. Oh, yeah. When a voice tells you you're not predestinated before the foundation of the world, you just look at where that's taking you. Look where that's taking. But Brother Wayne, we're afraid. We're afraid the people's just going to get loose living. If people ever get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry about them people. Maybe there is something on the inside of them that lives the life of Jesus Christ. And if they fall down, they will rise up again. If they get low, they will rise in power again. Because they are eagles. Hallelujah. Introduced it to us. He knew all it would take is His Word. He knew all it would take is His Word. You whip out one of them newfangled cell phones, you can talk to that baby. You know why? It's equipped. When you bought it, it was equipped. You didn't put it in there. Technology put it in there. You got it equipped to hear the voice. And you see people walking around with instruments that they can talk to them all day long. You see another generation. They got that old cell phone, been around for 25 years. And they walk around. They see one of these young guys pull it up and say, Siri, take me to the local gas station. Siri starts talking. They sneak off. They say, man, that looks cool. And they flip open that phone, start talking. No response. You know why? Because there's nothing in there to respond to a voice. It's only a touch and a feeling. That was another age, just touch and feeling. This is another revival. And He knew a word would awaken the bride of Christ to every response that He had programmed in you. You got a programmed response inside you. When you hear the word, you are programmed to say, amen. Hallelujah, you're programmed. When sickness comes, you don't fall apart. You fall on your face before God and begin to say, God, heal my body. Touch my life. Touch my family, Lord. You're pre-programmed. You say, Brother Wayne, what are we going to do when the world starts falling apart? You're pre-programmed. You're not programmed to fall with the world. You're programmed to rise in the power of God. And I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. Pre-programmed, brother. Just talk a few minutes and watch the Holy Ghost begin to move. He knows all He has to do is talk to you. He knows it'll move. Amen. To recognize, amen, that this was being pre-foreshadowed. That see, every action in the bride must be a word action. You see, God is not just saying some new thing's going to be done out here. And they didn't know that it was in the Bible. But after the seals were opened, then somebody pointed us back in the scripture and said, here's your action. But it was veiled under Rahab, or it was veiled under Ruth, or it was veiled under here. So every action you have is already pre-recorded in the Bible. It just took the opening of the thunders, the voice of God, to reveal to you what you were supposed to do at that time. And there's been no other age that's had a direct word from God. For 2,000 years, we've been waiting on a vision of what to do, Lord. And here it's before us tonight to take the word and live out this age under the changing of our bodies. You see, Joshua was living in a wonderful time. You're taught well, so I'm not going to preach the whole story of Joshua. But Joshua was living at a time when they were coming into their promises. They've been waiting years for this. 400 years they'd laid down there under slavery waiting for the time of the manifestation of their own names. Those names had laid sealed from their births years ago. But there had been no power to manifest them. Ephraim wasn't living in Ephraim. They was living in Egypt. But now's coming a power that says, I'm going to take Ephraim to Ephraim. And I'm going to take Judah to Judah. I'm going to deliver them into their full revelation of their own name. Come on, church. The name of Jesus Christ has a lot more in it than just being born or baptized. It has a lot more in it than just being sanctified. Under the name of Jesus is every promise in the Scripture. It's the door to every promise. So it was laying under that name was the promises of the age. But you see, it's in the time of Joshua that he delivers them into the name. He delivers them into the promise, into the fullness of it. And when they're getting ready to come over in there, they're coming into that land. You know, they had a battle in front of them. Don't you ever think that promises are going to be uncontested. Don't think that these promises that we're preaching now, that there won't be men build their whole ministries to take this away from the church. There'll be men that build pulpits and churches just for the purpose to take the third pull right out of the bride. They'll spend their entire lives to dispossess you of the spoken word, of the power of faith, of the right now revival that is happening. They'll spend their life to rip away from you the greatest awakening that's ever been. Come on now. If it's not building you into the faith of this hour, it's not coming from God. Come on, friend. The prophet of God said we got to be built up into the faith of this hour. It'll take more faith than any other hour. It must be rapturing faith. So we find out that here Joshua's ministry was not going to be uncontested. It was going to be fought. And it's going to be fought by giants. It's not going to be just little guys. It's going to be giants. Giants are going to rise up and say, you can't have this land. They're going to rise up and say, that only belongs to a prophet. They're going to rise up and say, y'all got to wait now. There's coming some big something out here in front of us. Now, it's a funny thing when I read the message. Brother Branham said, we are right now in possession of every redemptive right was paid for under the blood. He said, and if I didn't have the faith to walk like Enoch, I wouldn't get in the way of somebody that did. He said, and if I found some promise that belonged to me that was on the shelf higher than I could reach, he said, I would borrow me a ladder and climb up to get it. I wouldn't stand on the ground and say it's not ours. I wouldn't stand there and say it ain't ours. But there's a word that's delivered in this age that will lift the bride to every promise that is there. We've just got to get some men of God, some Joshuas that know where they are in this generation. And they'll fight the greatest battle that's ever been fought. Amen, because it's in the human mind that says you're not worthy. It's in the human mind that says, how could you do it? In the human mind, how could you possess it? In the human mind, you know where you come from. You know the sins of your past. You know the trials. You know the troubles. You know the arguments in your own home. You know every situation. And how then can you say that you can live in faith? In rapture faith. In third pull faith. How could it happen? Amen, I want you to know tonight, we are not worthy of this. And our worthiness will never obtain it. Amen. But we are heir to this. According to the Bible, we are joint heir with every promise. If if Jesus Christ did it, you are an heir to it. And only a devil would tell you different than that. Come on now. You got to withstand the Santa Christ spirit and discern. There's two spirits working in the framework of the church. One of them's taking us up the tree, and the other one's taking us out on a limb. I want to go up. You know what I found? I found the fruit is in the top of the tree. Because that's where the light is. The light ain't on the bottom no more. The light is not in the first. It's not in the second pool. Those were good lights for a season. But we no longer worship in that season. We have come to the place where He put His name under the third pool of the age that we're standing in. Look at the representation in the scripture when Joshua entered that land. Not an uncontested battle, friends. But a great contest before him. Hey man, but he wasn't in worry. And you know why he wasn't? Because he met one that said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And the same one that had led them was standing with them going into the promise. But this time, it wasn't a visible light. It was an incarnate light. And the prophet of God said that pillar of fire is now identified in adopted sons and daughters of God. You said, Brother Wayne, what are you talking about? I'm talking about there's some people sitting right here in this room right now that has got the pillar of fire on the inside of them. And if they could only recognize who they are and why God has put them here, there would not be one thing that could stand before them. But they will be an invincible army. By prophecy, nothing shall stand before thee, for I will be with thee, even in thee. The never failing presence of Jesus Christ will be with this church. Amen. And the word will not fail in their lips. This is my covenant with them. They will speak the word and I will perform it. You know I'm in the scripture. Now watch, because we see Joshua coming out there. Not uncontested. So just because somebody contests a promise does not make the promise not yours or true. Just because somebody said that don't belong to you, now that don't mean you have to listen to that. That's the battle in the mind. I heard the prophet of God today on tape saying greatest battle ever fought. He said it's the devil's job to send it. He said, but you see, if a man's anointed by a ministering spirit, it's his job to send it back. But we've been here longer than you, Brother Wayne. That's all right. Them giants have been in that land a long time. We've been here longer. Some of you young people just coming in. People, oh, we've been here longer. There's no way these things can come into this bride. We've been here longer than that. Listen, friends, there's got to be a revelation that strikes the heart of the church that this prophet made a place for the church to come into power. The greatest compliment you ever gave to William Branham was accepting what he said at the word of the Lord. Now think of this, because when he comes into this land, we got a Joshua standing over here, and Joshua sees that there's a great battle. Now the great battle has come up to a place where there's a battle of Ai. You remember in the battle of Jericho, and they were great and mighty and victorious. And it was, my, that was such a battle. Until five kings decided we can't let this go. We've got to get ourselves together. And we got to get against this city that has the, you know, there's a great country, a great city. So we'll just go with Joshua. So there's five other kings says we can't let this ride. Because Joshua's already powerful and this man gets with him, then two agree. We're in trouble. If we can keep these two apart, then it's one thing. But if these two get to agreement and they both realize that this is the land and this is where they belong, these people are going to be twice as powerful as they were by themselves. So there's five kings anointed to keep this union from happening. And they come against Joshua. And the Bible says God told Joshua, go in the battle and don't worry, you're going to win this. Brother, I love going into battle. I know I'm going to win. My, it almost makes you cocky, you know. Can you hear Elijah standing up there on Mount Carmel? You got to holler a little louder. I don't think your God's hearing you. Why can Elijah act like that? He had already saw the vision. Matthew 25 said they're not going to get the oil. Don't matter what they do, they're not going to get the oil. Revelation 12 said the devil's not going to win. Come on, church, it's already written in the Bible. It ain't going to happen. You see, Joshua knew what was going to happen before he ever went in the battle. You're going to win the battle. The Bible tells us when they started chasing those kings, five of them gathered themselves up in the cave. And Joshua said, you just let them be. We're going to destroy these armies. And they took off destroying the army. And as they took off, amen, the Bible tells us that God destroyed more of them than Joshua did. Can you imagine fighting a battle with a man that God starts throwing rocks out of heaven? You can't get away from a God like that. Amen, you think I'm going to hide over here and he beams you in the back of the head. You can't even see Joshua. Amen, where is that coming from? Amen, do you see that was an unseen force with Joshua? Amen, it was coming from every side. Amen, amen, the devil thought, amen, that there were five kings. Again, these two, but it wasn't that way at all. Amen. Do you know the Bible tells us 200,000 demons gathered themselves against this bride? Amen. Those horsemen were religious spirits that come against this bride, but you can number them. It's a lot, but you can number them. But in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, my Bible says that in the time of Mount Zion, that the number of angels were not countable that was with Mount Zion. Then may I say there is more with us than there is with them. They cannot see them, but there's angels all over this building tonight. They're here in power throwing rocks against this devil. I'll tell you what, God's the best rock thrower that ever was. He took a little 16-year-old boy one time with a slingshot. And all he had was a little slingshot standing before a giant in the same land under the anointing of Joshua. Years later, he said, this is an uncircumcised giant that's left over from the other days. But he will fall like the bear fall, like the lion fall, like every others fell. You see, they're of the same family line. They're of the same seed line. Uncircumcised Philistines. And if they fell before Joshua, they will fall before David, because the same God that was throwing rocks in Joshua's day was still in the rock throwing business. I believe that's the same one that was with William Branham that threw rocks at the devil. There he was, an uneducated man, amen, and slaying intellectual giants by the revelations that was coming. Hallelujah. And right here today, them same intellectual giants have come right into the message of the hour. But God has still got the revelation that David was in possession of, that Joshua was in possession of, that William Branham was in possession of. Our God is more than able. Brother Wayne, how are you going to make it happen? I ain't. I'm just going to speak the word and let him do it. God is just looking for somebody that ain't scared to say what he said. David was a little guy. He was a nobody, but he had confidence in the God that he was serving. And there's a bride here today. The devil says you're a bunch of nobodies. You're just nobody from nowhere. But God's got confidence. You said he ain't got no confidence in me. Does he not? He put his reputation on you. He put you in the last age where there was an invincible army. And you said, God, I don't know if I can do it or not. Let me tell you, he knows more about you than you know about you. You say, I can't do it. He said, you can do it. And be strong and of good courage. I'll give you this land. How are we going to take it? We ain't going to jump all in it at one time. You might not make that leap in one message. You might not make that leap in two messages. But about 6 inches at a time. You put your foot on this little rock and you'll see the sun shine on this patch. And you'll step over here and in a minute you'll start finding out the ground I'm walking on was ordained for me to walk on. This is my land. This is my time. This is my anointing. This is a generation for us to live. When you start getting ownership and start recognizing who you are, then you know what you can do. Your response is already pre-recorded. Look at Joshua walk down there. That battle got hot. Greatest battle ever been fought. It's a good time. Evening time. Joshua, Joshua. Now think of it. Army on the run. Five kings locked up. If the sun goes down, now them devils are going to gain power in darkness. If the sun goes down, before them devils are under the feet of the people. They're already under Joshua. But if they don't get under the kings before the sun goes down, then the kings will rise back up in power. And Joshua sees what's going on here. And he sees the unity of that great army out there. And Joshua goes over and he stands on the rock. Don't have a prayer meeting. He don't have to go consecrate his life. He doesn't have to go apologize to his brother. He doesn't have to go say, I'm sorry over here and do this over here and do that. He's got a life that's already consecrated for the battle. He don't have one prayer meeting. He don't have one conference. He don't have nothing. He looks at what's going on and he's just as a man lifts up his voice and said, Moon, you hold your place and sun, you stand still. You say that's not possible. It is. It is. It's not possible with man, but it's possible with God. When God was laying a prophecy in the scripture that the spoken word would bring light to an evening time battle. That's what delays the time. That's what makes time stand still. When there would be no grace. There in Revelation's 10th chapter, the Bible tells us that time will stand still. What's it standing still about? In Zechariah, the Bible said, in the evening time, there shall be light. Where is the light in the evening coming from? Brother Bram said the moon was eclipsing. He said the thing was going completely out. He said, but he let me draw a little light in there. He let me put a little light in there. The Word put the light in the age that we're in. Isaiah 60 said darkness was upon the earth and gross darkness on the people. But he said to thee, arise and shine. Thy light is come. What is it? The Word. The Word being manifested has made a path. It's made a light in this evening time. Amen. That has revealed a way to defeat your enemy. Now watch what he does. He goes out there, defeats the enemy, the army, and he goes back and he takes his generals. And he goes back and pulls them kings out of them caves. He said, boys, come here. I want to show you your authority. I want to show the world your authority. And he laid them kings down. He said, now I'm not going to put my foot on their neck. He said, but I'm going to put your foot on their neck. I want you to put this man under your foot. I want you to step on the general's neck, the king of the army that said he would destroy you. You are going to step on his neck and show where the authority is in this day. You say it ain't fair. He was already whipped. Well, think about it a minute. He was already a defeated devil, but that wasn't good enough for Joshua. Joshua wanted his men to have their feet on the king's head to demonstrate that the manifested power had come into the body of the believers that was under Joshua. Hallelujah. They put them under the feet. Do you know in the Bible, in Romans 16, the Bible said that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet? Apostle Paul said, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. You know the prophecy of you all the way to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, is that the woman's seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. That woman's seed became Abraham's seed. And we are of the lineage of Abraham. We are Abraham's royal seed. And whatever the head was going to do, the body is going to do the same thing. If our head crushed the serpent that day at Calvary, then there's a bride in the end time that must crush the serpent that's already defeated, but we're going to step on him anyhow. Why does the bride have to step on the devil to show the manifested headship has come into the church of the living God? This power is not in Jesus alone, but he has given it unto his bride. Oh, you think of it just a moment and you realize that a prophet of God said, look, he said, listen, we're coming to something. He said, I believe there's a church on this road tonight, the power of the living God. He said that men will, he said, well, men will speak the word of God and it'll flash like lightning. There's a church coming out, not psychologists, not some put on make believe, but a real, true, genuine, anointed, Holy Ghost, God called church. Amen. He's telling us in 1953 that we are on the borderline of that tonight. Do you know Brother Bram had a borderline vision? In the paradox, he tells it. He said, I was sitting in my chair about 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what he said it was. He said, I fell into either a dream or a vision. He said, I was standing on the map of Palestine. Y'all remember the story. I stepped on the map of Palestine. He said, and I was standing down at the Jordan. He said, but I looked behind me. He said, and I had come 2/3 of the journey. Now, I don't have to, you don't have to be trying to put nothing together to realize that was two poles of his ministry. He said, but I was standing at the Jordan. He explains it very goodly that the Jordan was the opening of that word. That when he had to cross over that, and he was going to fight a lot of battles when he done it. He was going to fight every denominational system when he done it. He said, but I got to go anyhow. And the people on the other side said, Brother Branham, because of your decision, we are here. That's what they said. That was the decision in Love Divine, was to go on into the Word. And as he crossed, look what he says. He says that the voice told me, over there is where all the promises are. You see people coming to the message and they think, well, y'all can't speak in tongues no more. Over there is where all the promises are. Over there in that land, there is tongues, there is visions, there is prophecy, there is power, there's laying on hands, there's speaking the word. Amen. There is an anointing there. There's shouting, screaming, Holy Ghost filled revivals. There's circumcision, dedications, establishing lands, tearing down Jericho, speaking to the sun and the moon. Over in that land, every promise that's in the book belongs to the church of the living God. We could not possess it in Pentecost. We could not possess it in Luther's day, but we are here today where every promise of God. Now, if you just lay that map down, now I'm not trying to get real deep here, but if you just lay that map down of the stature of a perfect man and you walk up to the seventh, there's the Jordan right in front of you. What's the next step? It's the capstone. Where is all of the promises at? But in the mind of God. And those have been in His mind before we ever come here. But there is nothing that ever could take adopted sons back to the mind of God except the Joshua anointing that told us years before they ever come what they were going to have. But somebody had to open his mind. And when you come into the age of headship, it's the battle. It's the war. That's where the battle starts, is where the mind begins to be revealed. Yeah, let me prove it to you. Okay. We got any new mooners here, honeymooners? You just get married? Maybe you've been married a year? 2 years? Well, you're learning now. That first year, whoo, what a honeymoon. Then you come back and say, honey, I don't like the towels stacked in that drawer. Oh, really? We'll do the laundry yourself then. Wasn't no battle till you told her I liked the way Mama cooked it better. That brother of mine told me one time, a preacher friend of mine told me, he said when he first got married, he's in the world, you know. He said his wife was making him some tamales, and he said them tamales just didn't taste like he wanted them to. He said he used to have a girlfriend years ago, and she made the best tamales. He said, so one day she was making tamales. She said, hey, he said, honey, he said, you know, I had a girlfriend. He said, would you call her up and see how she made them? I said, I'm a kid and I know that wasn't good. So she told me what she did. She said, I made them. She said, just like she told me, except for the dirty dish rag that I put in there. She said, I fed them to him and I went and got me a cheeseburger. It'd been 40 years later and she was still mad. Now you all know I'm telling the truth. It's only when a man declares his headship that there's any war in home. And even the best sister has got to get used to that. She has to realize the way daddy did it, the way that brother said it, the way this, that's not going to work no more. We're coming under a new headship. And we've got to bring ourselves under this. And you recognize that it's when the headship is declared, that's where the problem, that's where the fuss, that's where the great battle comes. And we see that when we started entering into that, that's why the prophet of God said, do you see, I seen we're going into them promises. And he said, then I moved to a road and there was a mamba. Y'all remember the mamba? And he said, I seen that mamba coming up, and he said, there was fear everywhere. He said everybody was under great fear because that mamba meant death, and it meant sin and death, and somebody was bit by it. What it meant to him was to die. He said that thing was trying to get me, but he said God wouldn't let it. He said, but I had a friend with me. He said, and that snake was about to get my buddy. He said, until God give me the power, he said, you can bind that serpent. He said, I turned around and bound that serpent in the name of the Lord. And that serpent bound up, he said, then God told me, so that you will know that you have power over it. He said, now loose it. And the prophet of God said, I loose you in the name of Jesus. And the serpent was loosed. He said, then I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And the serpent was bound. He stood there and exercised power over that serpent, showing that supreme authority had been given to the end time bride church. Don't never forget Branham was a part of this bride. End time authority had been given to him and this man that was walking with him. Now, I hope I have some liberty on this. Amen. But Brother Branham don't tell who he is. He don't put no face to him. And I'm sure there's plenty of guys would have loved to put their face there. But Brother Branham tells us in another place, a woman asked Brother Branham. They said, Brother Branham, the Bible said to receive a prophet is to receive the reward of a prophet. And she said, what really is the reward of a prophet? Brother Branham said, the reward of a prophet is to be the friend of a prophet. So them that receive a prophet receives the reward of a prophet. In other words, they become the friend of a prophet. Now, if it's all right with y'all, I want to be that friend that was walking with that prophet. And if you're with this message and you're standing under this word, we have the authority of the headship that is loosening and binding serpents that they cannot destroy the church that walks with this word. If you say, Brother Wayne, I can't walk. I don't have power to walk under this word. Amen. You've got to accept the message. You'll never walk it from the foot age or the hip age. You've got to walk it from the head age. Amen. If you're ever going to get there, you've got to set your mind on the end and let the words of God fall into your life and direct your heart. And you'll find that you're walking in a place that you're not up one day and down the other, falling this way, falling that way. You're walking with a word that don't never fail. Now what's happening is the authority is being distributed to this man that's walking with a prophet. He's falling under the beneficent effect of that prophet's ministry. Let me just say it to you like this. Amen. The prophet of God will tell us this. He'll tell us that one time there's a little girl whose name is Georgie Carter. She's been in a bed. She's been paralyzed for a long time. That little girl's been laying there. She got a book. I believe it's from the Nail Girl. And she was reading Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This little girl got to believe that Jesus Christ could raise her out of that bed. She had laid there sick in that bed over 9 years. And she got to believing that God could raise me out of this bed. Jesus Christ still heals the cripple. He can still come in and kill a disease and put power back in the legs and raise them up and let them walk again. Now her mother was a Christian. But her mother didn't believe that Jesus did the same works today that he did then. Now the mother believed Jesus. She believed a Christian, but she misplaced her faith on a God of history rather than the God that was currently there with them that day. She actually got so aggravated at William Branham that she began to call him a heretic and a false prophet and began to say, you're building false hope in the heart of my daughter by preaching these kinds of things. And people tell me that in this generation. They say, well, you're just building up false hope, Brother Wayne, that you go out here and preach like that and you got people believing that miracles can happen and cancers can leave bodies and people can rise up out of wheelchairs and blinded eyes can be opened. You got people believing that bodies are going to be changed changing and dead people's going to start walking through the building. You got people believing all these kinds of things. There's a revival going on. You got them believing that fireballs are flying through the air, coming into the church and quickening people's lives. You got them believing that they don't have to have counselors in their marriage if they just get the power of the Holy Ghost. You got them believing all these things. You're building false hope. I want you to know tonight, this is not false hope. This is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever He did, He still does. Whatever He ever did, He will still do tonight if we meet Him on the same basis they met Him on. That little girl's hope went past her mama's prayers. It went past her mama's faith. And she reached up somewhere where there was a God that could talk to a man. Brother Branham said he had already seen a vision of that little girl. And he said, I saw her as a lamb in a thicket. He said, I went up to Milltown, Indiana to build a church. He said, I went up there after a lamb in a thicket. He didn't know the symbol. He didn't know that that was a little girl laying on the bed. He only knew a lamb was in a thicket. So he went up there under a symbol and began to build a church, began to baptize people, began to have wars over the doctrine. But he wasn't there to build a church. He wasn't there to fight doctrine. He wasn't even there to baptize nobody. He was there to get that lamb out of that thicket. That was the purpose of him coming to that place. And that very mother of that little girl helped build the thicket that was around her. And sometimes the people that are closest to you are the people that's holding you in the weaknesses of your life, because you have tried before and you did not get there. You said, I was saved before and you didn't make it. You said, I quit smoking and you didn't make it. You said, I will never go back to alcohol, and you went back to it. And people that seen that and watched that, the next time you rise up to do it, they'll say, ah, you won't never make it. But let me tell you something tonight. If Jesus Christ is the same, He is the one that can heal every disease. He is the one that can cure alcohol. He's the one that can destroy tobacco devils. I'm talking about Jesus. They said, but it's my mama, it's my daddy, it's my brother. The Bible said, let every man's word be alive, that the word of God would stand true. Brother Bram said he was out there praying, and a pillar of fire came to him and said, go down to the house and raise Georgie Carter up out of that bed. Can you imagine how he felt when he jumped that barbed wire fence? He run by the people that was looking for him. They was out there searching for Elijah. He run by them and said, I've got a mission. There's a girl going to raise up tonight. He took off running down through there, and they all went to following after him to see the miracle. They got down to the house. You know what was going on in the house? Why he was coming to the house? You know what was going on in there? The mother was in the kitchen praying, God, send that false prophet away. She was in there praying, Jesus, send that false man away from my home. And while God was sending grace to the door, she didn't understand what was coming. So since she didn't understand it was from God, she was resisting the very power that God was bringing to her by the vision of a prophet. You got to be careful that you don't take the words of a prophet and try to take the things away from the bride that God has so freely given to her. Don't let your church be a mother that tells you that God don't do these things no more. That God don't affect, like, I'm not talking about your church, Brother Reagan. I'm talking about the mother church in this last day that says these things don't happen, this don't happen. Now to think about this, you see then that when Brother Branham comes to the door, amen, just before he gets to knocking, this woman breaks into a dream or a vision, sees it on the wall, she sees Jesus. And he says, who's this coming behind me? And he turns around and he looks behind him, and there Brother Branham is on the wall with his head cocked sideways, carrying a bag, coming down the road. And the prophet of God said, I believe it says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. At the same moment, there was a knock on the door. It was Brother Branham. She went in there, and when she opened the door and seen it was Brother Branham, she almost fell out. She almost passed out. He walks over to the bed. Brother Branham said, I felt so good. He said, I walked over that bed. He said, I looked over in that bed and saw that little girl laying there. Well, she had wore the post on the bed from rubbing them and sitting there praying and asking for God. I believe right by the bed was a book called Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday and Forever. Said she had laid right there for over 9 years. Brother Branham said, I walked in there and I looked at her and I said, Georgie Carter, rise up out of that bed, thus saith the Lord. Brother Branham said, when I said that, he said, I thought, oh my Lord, what have I said? What have I said? Can you imagine? What have I said? You know, I know exactly what that feels like. I want y'all to think I'm crazy. But have you ever said something you didn't say? I was preaching in India one time. And brother, in the middle of the service, there was a lady sitting back about where y'all are back there. She just fell out in the aisle, started like a balled up thing. Just started bawling up and screaming. Well, at first I thought, my, somebody's in the spirit, you know. Somebody's screaming out and down on the floor. I thought, my goodness, they're getting excited. Well, just within a moment, that evil hit me. I thought, oh, no, that's not God. I looked over to see what was going on. Well, I didn't know what to do. My first mission trip, you know. Hey, man, I'm just a young preacher. I had no clue what to do. The words come in my mind where Paul told Timothy, preach the word. So I just kept preaching. That lady laying there flopping in the floor, and I'm just preaching. I didn't know what else to do. I thought if I stopped, the devil, man, he might attack me or something, you know. So I just preaching that word. And about that time, I just felt the Lord put his hand on me. He said, you pray for that woman. I stopped right there. Brother stepped out in the aisle. One of the pastors laid his hand on him. I started praying. I got done praying. Brother Donnie, there was a group of pastors about from me to you, about 15, 20 of them maybe, sitting over just about like you are. And they were sitting there watching. I was facing the congregation like this, building about this size. We were preaching in an auditorium. It was a school building. And some of you may have heard this testimony, but it was in a school building. And it was a Hindu country. India is a Hindu country. And they had idols that was hung on the back wall, the posters. And those idols were hanging up there. When I come in to preach the meeting, I said, can y'all take them things down? They said, no. Have y'all ever seen Indian gods? They're the ugliest things. I don't know if you've ever seen, but they're ugly. If I was going to draw my own god, I'd at least be a pretty god. I mean, wouldn't you? I don't know what they was on when they drawed them things. They look wild, you know. Can you? Somebody got a good laugh about that later. You know, they're like, can you believe they're worshiping what I drawn? So, but in sincerity, I tried to get them to take them things down. And they would. They said, Brother Wayne, they said, we can't. They said, we can use the building. That's it. Can't touch nothing. We have to leave everything just like it is. I said, okay. So I went ahead and preached. Well, I mean, I got these things behind me now. Got this woman laying out on the floor. So I said, well, let's just pray. I bowed my head and we started praying. Well, just in a minute, I lifted up my head and I thought, well, all right. I prayed what the Lord told me to do. And I just started to go back preaching, just like I'm doing here. You know, I just started to preach. And when I started to say, I was preaching about the absolute power of God. And when I started to say what I thought I was going to say, I said, if that woman don't rise up right now, God is not even God. I went, ooh. What a... To be honest, that's the dumbest thing any person could say. Because God is God, whether that woman raised up or not. But I'm with my hand up, it wasn't me. I was just flabbergasted. I thought, what in the world have I just said? In my mind, I thought that, what have I just said? And about that time, a fog settled in that room. It just was like a mist. I'm going to be honest. 15 feet from me or so, them pastors sitting over there. And they told me later, they said, Brother Wayne, you almost completely disappeared. We almost couldn't even see you through the mist that was in the room. When that mist moved in that room, you could hear a wind barrel down in that. When that wind settled in like that, that woman stood up on her feet and began to scream and rejoice in the power of God. When that woman started rejoicing, that wind blew them gods off of that wall. Brother, I was ready to preach then. Woo! Glory. I thought, my. But God was showing that His Word's still alive. Standing right there by that bed, that prophet was standing right there. He said, Georgie, come up out of there. In the name of Jesus Christ. He said, when I said it, the next thought was, how will she ever do it? He said, them little legs is 9 years laying in a bed, not one muscle left in them. There's nothing but skin and bone. He said, but you see, I didn't say it. He said, He was the one that said it. He said, she rolled out of that bed and put her foot on the floor and stood up in the name of Jesus. Amen. She didn't stand by her power. She did not stand by the power of a man. She stood by the power of God. And I'll tell you something tonight. I believe it's time for the bride of Jesus Christ to rise up out of that bed of affliction and that bed of excuse and that crippled life you've been living. You said, brother, I'm not in a wheelchair. No, but you got crutches that this preacher hurt me and this situation in my life. And I can't do this because of this. And I can't. And you ain't walked for God with power in years. But I can dare you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up to your feet and say, Satan, I will not obey you any longer. I will not walk with you no longer. But the power of God has come down on the inside of me. And I will have authority over you. I take authority over you. We have power over him. Oh, brother. Satan's a bluff. Can our musicians come? Satan's a bluff. Satan's already defeated. You say, Brother Wayne, I can't defeat him. He's already defeated. You say, I can't put my neck on this king's head. The king was already beat. Before Joshua had the generals to put their foot on their head, and the devil was already defeated before Jesus said, bride, you put him under your foot. Look at what you've been invited to do tonight. You've been invited to destroy devils that you never defeated. It's a conquered spirit. It's a conquered devil. Jesus done it at Calvary. You got to think of this tonight. The prophet of God said that day at Calvary, he broke the backbone of sin. He said he delivered that day at Calvary. Every sin was delivered. Every sickness was destroyed. Jesus rose up a victor and devil left a defeated enemy. Listen now. In the first seal, when the seals were opened, what happened? A white horse come riding. And Brother Branham says, watch. Jesus is showing it in the scripture 2,000 years later. That the devil was stripped of every power at Calvary. Because when the white horse was revealed, he was had a bow and no arrows. But watch that next stage. He went to a red horse, didn't he? And then he went to a black. Then he went to a pale. So he had as much authority in the end as he did in the beginning. Now, where did he get that authority? How did he get a pale horse back? How did he get death back? By the lies that was planted in the denominational systems that took the power out of the church and put it in the hands of the devil. And here we are with a conquered devil that has more authority than he did in the beginning, given to him by the church. When the church says it's not your right, they put it in the hands of the devil. When the church says you don't have a right to speak that word or to stand on that promise, they put it in the power of the devil. They have stripped it out of the church and put it in the hands of the enemy. But a prophet of God never one time ever give the devil power in any quote in the whole message. He said the devil is defeated. He's already conquered. He says all power now lays in the bride of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. It's in the bride of Christ. Can I tell you this example? Brother Donnie, is there any rough parts here in Happy Valley or around this Elizabeth town? Is there any rough parts in town, y'all? I know if y'all probably go over to Knoxville, you have to watch yourself a little bit in certain parts of town because it's a little rougher than others. Can you imagine, Brother Donnie and Sister Carol? Is it okay if I... Brother Donnie, Sister Carol, can you imagine them out and one late evening, Brother Donnie takes her out to some nice little restaurant and they had to park down the street a little bit and it's on past dark. They get out of the restaurant and he says, honey, you know, walk a little close to me here. This could get dangerous down this little area right here. There's some thieves and things, and they're walking together arm in arm, just strolling down the sidewalk, headed back to the car after a nice meal. And they hear a voice coming out of the alley. They hear a man say, hey, fella, give me all your money. Right now. I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot your wife. Do it right now. And you're looking around. And a minute, standing in the shadow of that alley, you see a big man standing there with stretched out and your fear starts kind of coming on you. You start looking around thinking, well, I could take my wallet and throw it and we could run this way. And you're looking for help and what can happen. All these things is going through your mind. And all of a sudden, just by the grace of God, a car pulls up from the other direction and shines a light. And you look over at that big man with that big voice. And he's standing there with handcuffs on. His hands is cuffed behind him. His feet is in shackles. He has nothing in his hands. All he's got's a big mouth. In the darkness, you was listening to that. Fear was in your heart in the darkness. But when the light shined on him, you said, you ain't nothing but a bluff. Think of this. This is the fun part to me. Is when Brother Donnie looks at him a minute and says, Carol, honey, come here. Fella, I'll tell you what we're going to do. My wife's going to smack you. And that little bitty woman walks right up to that big old big mouth fella and just slaps him. Mr. Brother Wayne, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about a devil in the end time. That ain't nothing but a big mouth devil that God already bound at Calvary. And he's been blowing his wind in the darkness somewhere. But there's an evening light that shined on him and said he's already defeated. He's already bound hand and foot. He cannot harm you. He cannot destroy you. He's only a shadow in your presence. Jesus Christ has already defeated him. Now what's happening? What's happening now in the light of this message? Jesus said, honey, come here. And he said, you little bride, I want you to smack this devil. You said, by the way, are you serious? In the message of the greatest battle ever fought, the prophet of God said it like this. He said, what are we going to do with this? He said, we're going to take the word in our hand. He said, and the devil that's standing before us, he said, we're going to whack him with it. Amen. You got a sword in your hand tonight. All you got to do is whack the devil with it. You said, Brother Wayne, I whacked him with it, but I don't know what to do now. Whack him again. You said, I don't know. What am I going to do? Whack him again. How many times do you whack him? Till he moves. You just keep hitting him and keep hitting him and keep hitting him until he gets out of your way. Instructions from a prophet. A command from a word prophet. Whack the devil with a word. Woo! Hallelujah. Whack him again. Whack him again. So Brother Wayne, it ain't working. You're going to have to just keep doing it. You're just going to have to keep hitting him. You're going to have to keep hitting him. You know what the devil hates? Is a perseverant believer. He hates one. In the Bible, a little Syrophoenician woman, the Bible said Jesus come in the coast of Sidon and would have been hid from them. Gentile. Hid. But he could not be hid from her. Because she had a daughter that was vexed with the devil. She was so perseverant that she followed him everywhere where he went and said, Master, oh, have mercy. Oh, son of David, have. And she followed him and followed him and followed him, and he didn't speak one word to her. Not one word did he say to her. Did she give up and go home? Did she say, well, I hadn't got enough? No, she didn't do it, friend. You know what she did? She knew the authority was right there. And she knew if she'd keep pursuing, and she'd keep pursuing until that word ministered to her personally, that she would have power over that spirit. Finally, when the Lord turned to her, you know what happened? Amen. The Bible tells us She didn't give up. She didn't go home. She didn't quit. Do you know what to do when your prayers are not being answered? Do you know what to do when it seems like you prayed for 10 years and you ain't got nowhere? Everybody knows what to do when your answer to your prayer comes. Everybody knows that. But what do you do when He's not answering? What do you do when He don't answer right quick? You know what that woman done? The Bible said she worshiped Him. She worshiped Him. She just started worshiping Him. And she said, Lord. And when she started worshiping under that name, Lord, all of a sudden, all power turned to her. What do you want? Well, I need this healing, but that don't belong to you. It's the children's bread. The dog's got to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She said, oh, I'm happy with a crumb. She got right down and got that little crumb, brother. Because she knew where that crumb come from. It had the same thing in it that the whole loaf had. And she knew that if I get this crumb, I'm going to get me another one. And if I get that crumb, I'm going to get me another one. And I'm going to get me another one till I get exactly what I am desiring. Brother Branham said, I got 5 pages on crumb seekers. People that'll just take a crumb till they get the loaf that they're after. I believe there's a people in the house of God tonight that will not take no for an answer. I believe there's some perseverers here tonight that'll just keep whacking the devil until he moves out of the way. I believe there's people here tonight that in the midst of adversary, they will just worship God. When the devil is against them on every front and he tells you, you got to quit, you can't go no further, you ought to just lift up your hands and say, I'm not quitting this. I'm not giving up. I'm going to press this battle until every devil is defeated, until every sickness is healed. Oh, I believe tonight that there's a power in the house of God. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. We will not be defeated. You know that one? We'll not be defeated anymore. Well, since the Holy Ghost came in, gave me power over sin. We'll not be defeated anymore. Oh, now we'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated anymore. Yes, since the Holy Ghost came in, He gave me power over sin. We'll not be defeated anymore. Now we'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated anymore. Well, since the Holy Ghost came in, He gave me power over sin, we'll not be defeated anymore. Now, hallelujah, anyhow. Well, I never, never let my troubles get me down. Now when life troubles comes my way, I lift up my head high and say, hallelujah anyhow. See now, we'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated anymore. Yeah, since the Holy Ghost came in, He gave me power over sin, and we'll not be defeated anymore. I like that now. Oh, we'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated anymore. You see, since the Holy Ghost came in, He gave me power over sin. We'll not be defeated anymore. Hallelujah. talking about Jesus tonight. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't going to let nobody put him in the history. Whatever he was, he still is tonight. And whatever he has manifested is available to every believer sitting right here tonight. If you listen to the message, He That Is In You, it's a great announcement from William Branham. If you'll notice, he does not go in there and dispossess you and say that this is to one individual. But he is inclusive in saying, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you run that tape right through to the end, you'll hear Brother Branham do something that's very powerful. He'll say, you're sitting here tonight. He said, maybe there's a sickness in your body. He said, that's a trespasser on your body. It's come to contaminate your spirit. It's come to contaminate your life. He'll say that is a temple of God. And he said, you got a right tonight by the thing that's on the inside of you to command that to leave you just now. Then he will say, I am going to take my faith. Do y'all know what faith William Branham had? William Branham had the faith of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to take my faith and I'm going to lay it on you. Just like Elijah laid something on Elisha. A prophet said, I'm going to lay my faith on you. He said, and with my faith, and with your faith, in the power of Jesus Christ, you're going to speak against that's on your body. He says, that I have, I give unto you in the name of the Lord. Can you imagine tonight what you're in possession of? You're not just in possession of your faith. But here's the faith of a prophet laying on this generation. His experiences, the anointing, the miracles, the meeting of supernatural beings. He took all of that faith and he laid it right on the church. He ministered it to you. He said, now how many believes that? This is him. He says at the end of He That Is In You. He said, now how many believes that? He said, if you believe that, he said, then my Bible says in Mark 16, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He never took out laying on the hands, even in the presence of the spoken word, because every promise is there. How many believers are here tonight? There's people in this building that has needs. There's sicknesses. Some needing the Holy Ghost. Some has great spiritual needs, need to have answers that's in their life, questions they need answers to. Need things to determine, to bring faith to their heart. Sitting right here tonight with a great need. But I believe if we would only persevere and ask the Holy Spirit to come and touch that need, the needs that are not met during this ministry, I believe they can be met right here. Will you take your hand that has been anointed by the words of a prophet? He laid his faith on you. If you're a believer, you've been given the faith of a prophet of God to go with your faith, to lay your hand on your friend, on your wife, on your brother. Would you take that hand now with authority and with power? Ministered unto you through an angel into this generation. And with that in mind, you begin to pray over your friend, your brother, your loved one, your mother, your sister. With that in mind, you begin to tell that spirit that it don't have any right on God's property here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we have not come here in vain. But Father, we come here under the invitation of a pastor, Lord. Lord, that has a heart for His people. Lord, He knows there's needs in His congregation. Father, he's asked for your word to come here tonight to deliver, to strengthen, to help. And Father, we're standing here tonight with our anointings binding together, heart to heart, Father. We stand with these musicians, with these ministers, with these believers all over this building. And Father, we're asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to move through this building. Lord, there's been great deliverances and testimonies that's been coming out of the church. But Father, we're asking for one more step in the power of God. Father, maybe somebody here visiting tonight that's never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, while this anointing is moving through this building right now, may, Father, you fill them. May that person that has their hand on them right now, Father, may they deliver to them, as Apostle Peter would say, that I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. I hear the voice of a prophet crying out of the seals, I command you in the name of Jesus, receive you the Holy Ghost. I hear the voice of a prophet off of those tapes say, I give my faith unto you, little bride, that you may have authority over this enemy, that you may put it under your foot tonight. Lord Jesus, we come here tonight in the power and authority that's delivered unto us in this age by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're contentious for this faith, Lord, that has been delivered among us. We believe, oh God, that every promise is here. We believe the power of every angel, the kingdom of God, is in this building right now to deliver hearts, to take a hold of lives. Thou spirit of deafness and dumbness, thou cancer, thou spirit of criticism, you spirit of unbelief, we adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of this people and give them liberty tonight. Hear ye the voice of the Lord as this bride sounds together. Satan, we unify our voices, we unify our spirits, and we come against you in the name of the Lord. Satan, you're a defeated enemy. Jesus Christ defeated you that day at Calvary, and under the shed blood we adjure you tonight. We stand against you and we pray that liberty be given to every heart in this building just now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we pronounce victory over you, Satan, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Is there a witness tonight that the Spirit of God is moving? Is there somebody in here that'll witness something just move through my body? Something just moved through my heart. Is there somebody said, Brother Wayne, I know God is doing something for me right now. I know God is touching my life right now. Amen. Won't you tell God? Amen. I believe. You tell the devil. Devil, you're defeated. Let the devil know it right now. Devil, you're defeated. I put you under my foot. I whack you with the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you brothers help me with that song, in the presence of Jehovah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In
the presence,
thank you, Lord, of, oh, His word lifts us there.
God,
don't miss your opportunity tonight. Don't miss it, friend. He's a Prince of Peace.
Troubles vanish.
Yes, the hearts are mended. Hallelujah.
In the presence,
yes,
of the
let's worship Him now. Of Jehovah, God Almighty.
Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. How many believes him tonight? Oh, glory to God. We worship you, Lord. Friends, we're not serving an idol. We're not serving a dead God. We're serving the only true and living God there is. The resurrection, life, the healer. Some of you were with me about a month ago. I was up at Brother Nathan Bryan's church. His sister come through the prayer line on dialysis. The doctor's report was either a kidney transplant or death. But God had another report. Brother Nathan asked me if I'd stick around on Saturday night and pray for the people. I said, sure. The sister come up, asked for prayer. The presence of God came down. He called me on Thursday, and I was in North Carolina, and said she went back to the doctors. Her numbers had so totally changed, the doctor said, no more dialysis. Hallelujah. Who done that? God. Your God. Your God. Your God. Hallelujah. He's a healer. He's a miracle worker. Glory to God. He's here to supply the needs of his people. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ain't he wonderful? Friends, there's a move on among the bride. I want to be part of it myself. I want to be a part of what God's doing. We don't want to just hear about it from Trinidad or hear about it from Canada. We want to know he's a living God right here in Happy Valley. In our lives. Oh my. Praise God. I got a testimony this week from the prayer line where Brother Ben healed right here of diabetes. God delivered him. He's a living God. I said he's a living God. Let's just sing it together as these people are ministered to. Sing it for Harry. It's in the presence of Jehovah. Right here in his presence. You can be healed. You can be delivered. You can put your foot on the neck of that enemy. Of Jehovah. Yes, Lord. Almighty. Yes, Lord. Prince of Peace. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hearts are mended. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship him now. We worship you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. You're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our Savior. You're our mighty God. Hallelujah. God Almighty.
My prince.
Heavenly Father, you see their needs, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Break every chain.
There is power. Hey. say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
You are awesome in this place, Abba Father.
Thank you, Lord.
You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, my mighty God. You are awesome in this place. In this place, mighty God.
Everybody, you are awesome in this place,
mighty God.
You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are worship Him together now. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Amen. Let's love Him together, saints. It's more than a song, it's the truth.
To you our lives we raise. You're awesome.
Praise your name, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus.
We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
Holy, 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 holy.
Because we've come. worship you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Do you believe it, saints?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. May your word be fulfilled in our hearts, oh God. Hallelujah. I told the assembly over in North Carolina last night, if Hillary Clinton was the woman that Brother Branham saw in the vision, the Republicans, Trump, nobody else will stop her from being in that position. And if you are one of them ones that he saw in that Omega vision of the bride, there ain't enough devils out of hell. There ain't enough sickness. There ain't enough trouble to keep you out of your part of the vision either. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hillary may or may not be, but I know I am. Do you know you are?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! There is nothing that will stop us from fulfilling our part of this vision of this house. Oh, glory. It's not nice to preach after a preacher. Oh, don't you love him? My. Glory to God. Service again in the morning at 11 o'clock. We just come expecting to see what the Lord's going to serve us again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we count it such an honor to be gathered once again, Lord, in your great divine presence. Lord, where you are, mighty things take place. We love you, Lord Jesus. May we never become so accustomed to it, Lord. May we never become numb and desensitized to the mighty power of God. May we always honor it, yes, love it, cherish it, and realize that we are so blessed in the presence of the King. We don't want just blessings. We want your divine presence. Lord, you're moving right among us. You're moving in this age, and so many are missing it. But may we be sensitive to know the mighty God is walking among us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for our brother tonight, Lord. Give him rest in his body. Refresh him, Father, as we gather back again in the morning, if it be pleasing to you. We'll look once again for your great presence to come among us. Thank you for the mighty things you've done here tonight, Lord. And the saints said,
Amen.
The day before yesterday's aim crucified my Lord, beat him unmercifully and nailed him to a tree. The sky grew dark and the earth began to fall. Surely we've crucified.